You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, I've been teaching on Wednesday nights on a series and Sunday mornings on a different series, and I've got this stirring in me to preach this on Wednesday nights starting this month. We'll see if we finish it this month. We're going to miss a couple of Wednesdays the way it worked out, but anyway, I want to teach a series tonight, starting tonight, on joy.
Amen.
Amen. Woohoo! Amen. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Okay, joy really is the serious business of heaven. God's very serious about it. In fact, when you get to heaven, the main thing you're going to sense when you're there, and we often talk about, you know, I get to heaven, it's going to be holy. Well, yeah, it's going to be holy. The angels are crying, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, which is to come. The whole earth full of His glory. You know, we're going to sense His presence. But then, you know, when you say that, when you say, well, His presence, what is that like? What does that feel like? I mean, that's just a word when you say, we're going to be in His presence. We're going to sense His presence. Well, yeah, there's something that comes with that presence. You know, in Psalm 16:11, it says, in His presence is fullness of joy.
Right, amen.
I mean, we're just going to walk into heaven. We're going to leave earth and walk into heaven. It'll be such not a rapture like the rapture taken up of the church, but the feeling of rapture, the feeling of splendor, the feeling of joy, elation, is what we're going to sense in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy and life forevermore. You know, it's what He'll show us the path of life. Psalm 16:11 says He'll show us the path of life, for in His presence is fullness of joy. Now, what happens when we enter in to this presence? Jesus said this. He said, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What are we going to enter into? We're going to enter into His joy. Man, real joy. Now, I'm talking about happiness, just smiley faces. You know, we're happy often when things go right. That's called being happy. Joy is something different. Joy comes from within. It doesn't come from without. Joy is different from happiness. And I think I know sometimes we're talking about happiness and we're really talking about joy. And sometimes we're talking about joy and we're really talking about happiness. But there is a distinction. The word happy, you know, comes from happening, from happenstance. In other words, if things are lined up and everything's going right, then we're going to be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, if mama ain't happy, nobody happy. You've heard that, yeah. You know. So you want to do everything you can to make mama happy, you know. Yeah. Those are circumstances make us happy. You know, when we have a great day and the sun's shining, we're happy. But joy is something that comes from the inside. It's something that God gives. It's something that comes from His presence. And it could be raining outside and you can still have joy. Everything could be falling apart on the outside and you can still have joy.
Amen.
In fact, that is a characteristic of of a Christian. We of all people are the most joyful people on the face of this earth.
That's right.
First of all, we have security, we have hope, we have a future. We have a God we can call on that loves us, and anytime when something happens, we know where to run, and so we just have joy. We are eternal optimists. Amen. We believe that there is an opportunity in every difficulty. I love that. I think as Winston Churchill said, a pessimist finds difficulty in every... he said something that was really good. A pessimist finds a difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist finds an opportunity in every difficulty. I believe what he said. But we as Christians are that way in one sense. Of course, that was Winston Churchill said that. But still, the Bible is very plain. We have hope. We're never without hope, praise God. No matter how bad it looks, we can have joy. And joy comes from within. It doesn't come from what's happening on the outside. It comes from what's going on the inside. Amen? It comes from being in His presence. Joy is God's very serious about it. It is the business of heaven. What's going on up there? I can tell you what the business heaven's in. Heaven's in the joy business. That's what they do up there. They rejoice. Paul even said it, you know, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Amen.
In Philippians 4:4, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, let people know. Come on, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And be fretful, anxious, and worried about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. There again, he said, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. So we have to learn to rejoice. Rejoice has nothing to do with circumstance. It has nothing to do with what we feel. Rejoice is a mindset. It's an attitude. It is the business of heaven. It's what heaven's all about. Romans 14. Did I tell you to turn there? Okay, well, turn there. I've quoted a few verses and got you set up. You know, I was thinking of joy and just, you know, I play around with words. I'll think about words and just helps me remember. This would be an easy one, J-O-Y, joy. Joy would be Jesus first, others second, and you third. That'd work. That'd bring joy. Amen. Put Jesus first and others second and you third, and you'll have joy.
Amen.
Like a river. Woo! Remember that song, Joy Like a River? I got joy like a river. Or joy like an ocean. Anyway, I got joy. And then another way you could say, you can have joy if you know who's in charge. Jesus over you. Always bring joy. Amen. If he's over me, Jesus is over me. Jesus over you brings joy in every case. Romans 14. Enough of the acronyms. This always fascinated me. I know I ministered this before. Actually, I was just going back as I was studying this. It's been actually years since I preached this in this church. I've preached it in different places, out in different places. In the 14th chapter of Romans, Paul speaking, notice what it says in the 17th verse. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, King James, or eating and drinking, New King James, or some of the new translations. It's more than what's going on the outside. It's more than things on the outside. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Man, that's a mouthful. I don't think we catch that. I think anyone and everyone would agree that when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about righteousness. Wouldn't we agree with that? I mean, that you could, without the kingdom of God, without being in the kingdom, you wouldn't have righteousness. You'd be lost. Right? Now that I'm in the kingdom, I have the righteousness of God. So the kingdom of God is righteousness. Man, I have no problem with that. That didn't sound strange when I say it. What is it about? What's the kingdom about? Righteousness, right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. You know, it's the same word translated justified or justification in the Bible. When you see those words justified, justification, righteousness, all the same thing. It's right standing with God. Man, kingdom of God. It's all about right standing with God. Well, no, it's not all about that. That was just one of the things he said. Then he said the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace. Well, I think we would agree with that, that peace would be what the kingdom was about. The kingdom is about peace. In the world you have tribulation, me you have peace, Jesus said, you know, John 16:33. The peace of God. Man, we got peace that the world doesn't have. We got peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, his mind stayed on thee. When we think of the kingdom of God, Christianity as a whole, I think about being made right with God, right standing with God. And I think about peace in trial, in storms, in turmoil. I can have peace because I'm in a kingdom of peace. And I'm in a kingdom of righteousness. But I don't think we often think about that third one where it says joy. Hello? But it says righteousness, peace, and joy. Doesn't it? So this kingdom is a kingdom of joy. You know, I just talked about when I started out, just sharing here before I got into those scriptures, how that in his presence is fullness of joy, Psalms 16:11. And of course, Jesus said, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What happens when somebody's saved down here? There's rejoicing in heaven. I mean, there's joy in heaven. It is a kingdom of joy. Nothing wrong with being joyful. In fact, everything in the world is right about being joyful. And not only is that what the kingdom is, I mean, think about it. Kingdom of God. Okay, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. What does that mean? That means I'm in right standing with God. That means I have peace, and that means I have joy. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. The world ought to see that. We ought to be joyful people. We ought to be people of joy that share our joy and spread our joy. And we ought to show forth our righteousness, and we ought to show forth our peace in turmoil and trial and opposition and battles. We have peace the world doesn't have. They ought to see that peace on us, and they ought to see that joy on us. In fact, we should serve Him in righteousness. We should serve Him in peace, and we should serve Him in joy. And then what it says, notice the next verse. The 18th verse. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Yep. Wow. So I serve God in righteousness. I serve Him with peace. I serve Him with joy. And in doing that, I am acceptable to God and I am approved by men. Men see that peace on me. They see my righteous living, as it were, my righteousness, which is, you know, makes me live righteously. They see the peace on me, and they see the joy on me, and I'm approved by men. That's real stuff he's got there. That stuff really works. That's just not an idea or a concept. I've seen him go through some tough times. You know what? He stayed in peace and he had his joy through the whole deal. Amen. Didn't lose his joy, didn't lose his peace, and didn't compromise his integrity or his righteousness.
Amen.
They saw that on me. They saw that in you. That, see, we're approved by men when we do this and we're accepted by God. I love that. But this kingdom, and the point I want to make here, this kingdom is a kingdom of joy. Woohoo! You know, my buddy, Pastor Butch Bruton, you know, he always says it this way: if you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. And you're not. It shouldn't be a pain to serve the Lord. It shouldn't be a, oh, sure, you have to make stands. Oh, absolutely. You got to go against the grain, against the flow, as it were. But it is a joy to serve God.
That's right. Amen.
It is a joy to serve Him. It is a joy to live right and live holy. It is a joy to praise Him and worship Him and, oh, hallelujah. In fact, look at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Y'all getting this? I'm just perusing through the scriptures here. Just following the flow. I had something happen to me. I was sharing this with Amanda. Where's Amanda? Oh, back in the back. Today I was just going through, and I often do this, I'll just go through and see what I've been ministering on, you know, over the last year and the year before and the year before, and because I don't want to be lopsided. I want to be balanced in teaching and ministering as a pastor, as a shepherd. I want to make sure we're growing in certain areas and I haven't left out certain things. You know, there's some things I'll teach on every year, and I try to teach on eternal life, salvation every year, righteousness, at least once a year or thereabouts. The gifts of the Spirit, I make a point to do that about once a year and take it apart, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what the gifts of the Spirit are, and to take them apart. And you know, there's different things I try to hit on. Confession, and I think it's paramount that you understand confession, how to pray, how to believe God and stand in faith and all those kinds of things. I mean, I have responsibility to you as a pastor. And so if I don't look and I don't check and see what I'm doing, I go with the Holy Ghost. I flow with the Holy Ghost. But, you know, I have to stay in tune with that. And I don't want to get just on one thing standing all the time. So I was just going over 2007, 2008, 2009, just going over looking at the things and just topics and themes I was teaching. And, you know, I saw some things that I need to center in on that I need to get back to. And I was writing some things down. And this never happens to me. Never. Never happened that I can recall ever happened to me. It just doesn't happen to me that way. I study, yes, and I go back and look over the years. I've got records of everything I ever taught. I mean, you know, goodness, we've got tapes and CDs and DVDs for years and years and years, and a list of them, what I ministered on. But I was doing that this morning, and I don't know, I've been doing that for 2 or 3 hours and not realizing it and writing things down and just going over things. And I stepped back and I had lined out the whole month of December, Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, and Sunday class. And I didn't realize I'd done it. And I started crying. Because it just happened so fast, I didn't realize what I'd done. The Lord just moved in. And I knew what I was going to minister on every Wednesday night this month and every Sunday morning this month and in the class, which I'd already started a series. I knew where I was going with that. And it just all fell together. Just awesome when that happens. I love that. And God's, you know, he just so new and so fresh. You know, I've come down here lots of times not had a thing, not even know what I was going to minister on when I got into the pulpit. Knowing I had studied and done my part and prayed and I'm ready and I'm geared up. And I'm okay with that. I know God well enough to know He'll come through with something.
Yeah. Amen.
But it's kind of nice when it happens like that. It's kind of nice. I mean, I stepped back and I had it all. I had every Wednesday and it was all done. And January, incidentally. I thought, oh, okay, well, that's enough. I don't want to know any more than that. I don't want to know any more. But, you know, God's so good. Amen?
Amen.
He's faithful. He's faithful to us. And I'll tell you, we need joy. We need joy. Real joy. Supernatural joy. Joy from heaven. Joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, that's what he's saying there. He says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it comes from within. It doesn't come from without. It didn't come from circumstance. It comes from heaven, hallelujah. And it comes in my spirit. I can rejoice. Man, I had a great day today. I just had a great day meditating on this. Just stirred me up. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy 28, you found there. You know, after the 14th verse, we all know the first 13 verses. There's the first 14 verses. About the blessings of God that come on us as we hearken diligently to His voice, do that which is right in His sight, and keep His commandments, and so on and so forth. But if you go past the 14th verse, starting at 15th verse, He said, if you turn aside from these commandments, and you don't hearken to my voice, and you don't do that which is right in my sight, all these curses will come on you and they'll overtake you. Now, I don't believe God's bringing that on us. I believe we're bringing that on ourselves, because it says it will come on us and overtake us. Are you with me? You know, you can't violate the rules. You can't create new ones. They are what they are. You can't really actually break a commandment. You just break yourself against it. That's all you do. Wow. You know, you can't undo a commandment. A command is what it is. If you tell the truth, you're blessed. You lie, it's gonna bite you. It's gonna come back. It's gonna bite you. That's the command. That's the law. Gravity. You can't fight it. You can work with it, or you can work against it. But it's gravity. It's gonna work. Laws of electricity work. It doesn't matter what you think about them, whether you believe them, whether you cooperate with them or not. You can flip the switch, turn the light on. You can cut in that wire and kill yourself. It's you know, the law is the law. Are you with me? You can blame anybody you want to, but it's going to come down to the decisions you made and the things you did that brought that on you. And so the word is for our benefit to show us how to get blessed, how to cooperate with God. God wants to bless us.
Amen.
And He's saying, you do these things, these curses are going to come upon you and they're going to overtake you, just like those blessings come on you and overtake you. And I think it's fascinating that he said in the 47th verse about these curses, well, the 46th verse, says, and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Whoa. I think there's nothing that grieves God more than a mad, angry, bitter Christian that's bitter about their faith, mad about their doctrine, angry about everybody that doesn't believe like they believe, Pharisaical, Sadducees, Pharisees, those are the people Jesus had trouble with. They were mad, they were angry, they hated everybody, they wanted everybody to be just like them. Well, who in the world wants to be like that? And yet there are people that are that way, that actually preach that way, and they're mad and they're angry. We need more hell, fire, damnation preaching. Actually, we need more heaven preaching. Forgiveness preaching. Are you with me? We don't need more hell, fire preaching. I know there's a hell to to shun and a heaven to gain. But we're to preach the good news. Go into all the world and preach the good news, he says to every creature. That's what the word gospel means. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. That's what the angels said when they came and told the shepherds about Jesus. Think about it. Because that's what this is about. Joy. This is what we've been looking for. Like that song we sing, hey, you're the one that I've been looking for, and I found you here. When we found Jesus, we found what life's all about. When we became a Christian, got saved, now on our road to heaven, woo, glory. We jumped on the train of joy. And we should be serving Him with joy. That's what that 47th verse says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Then these curses came on you. Wow. Man, that's a strong indictment on us. Now, you know, we're supposed to be solemn. I understand that. Solemn and grave as elders and deacons in the sense of we're not flighty. We're not flaky. But to say that solemn and grave meant to not be joyful would be completely out of context with the Scripture. I believe Jesus was joyful. You know, I've seen a picture of Him laughing. You ever seen those sketches of the laughing Jesus? They were real popular. I think that's more indicative of who He was and how He lived His life. Oh, He was angry at the Pharisees and Sadducees, but why was He angry at them? Because they were judgmental and hateful. Jesus took in the harlots and took in the sinners and forgave and healed and blessed people, raised people from the dead, healed people in church of all places. My God. They got in trouble for it. Because that wasn't what they did in church. That wasn't what church is about. Church wasn't about getting healed. Church wasn't about getting help. Church wasn't about shouting and hollering and screaming and having a good time. Until Jesus showed up. And He changed everything. I love that. He just changed everything. See, joy is how we serve God. It's what this kingdom is about. Turn back over to Romans. Turn to Romans 15. Joy actually makes sense when you think about this kingdom and you think about what we believe. In Romans 15, notice what it says in verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's some things we see in common here. Peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit is all mentioned here. We just read that over there in the 14th chapter and 17th verse. The same thing. Righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But here we have a little more insight into how we activate that, how we get that working. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Everybody say in believing.
In believing.
Okay, so believing will activate joy. God will fill us with joy, and He'll fill us with peace in believing. But if we don't believe, He can't fill us with peace and joy, because believing is what causes it to happen. Isn't that right? If I'm not believing, then I'm not going to have joy. How can I have joy when all this is happening around me? I believe God. You getting it? I believe God. And so joy comes in believing. How can I have peace when all this is going on in my life? Because I believe God, I can have peace. He fills me with peace and He fills me with joy in believing. And I abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? It is really, and this will be a teaching that I'm not going to do this tonight, but I mean it's part of this series I'm going to teach on. It is the right response to God's Word. Joy. If I believe, I'm going to rejoice. If I believe, I'm going to thank. I'll be thanking someone, you know, if I believe them. So believing activates it. So where's your joy level? Well, where's your faith level? Does that make sense? Well, I'm not real joyful today. Well, what are you believing? I talked to somebody the other day about a situation. They called me and told me about their situation, and you know, it wasn't good, and you know, wasn't anything good about the situation. And then when they got through telling me all that, I stopped and I said, okay, let me ask you something. I said, what? I said, what are you believing? I said, well, I'm believing, you know, for a miracle. I said, okay, let's believe that. I mean, we got through all this stuff. Now let's believe God. Let's turn it around. Let's turn our attitude around. Let's turn our joy around. Everything changes when you believe. Believing changes everything. It absolutely changes everything. And the question is not what's happening to you. The question is not what's going on in your life. The question is, what are you believing? Because joy doesn't come from what's happening. It comes from what you believe. And you might flip that coin. Fear and anxiety and frustration and dismay and discouragement comes from what you're believing. Comes from believing the wrong thing. Amen? Believing in the power of the circumstance. Believing in the power of the situation. Believing too much in this world and not enough in God and His kingdom. We're in another kingdom. And it's a kingdom of righteousness. And it's a kingdom of peace. And it's a kingdom of joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so He fills us with peace and joy in believing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, turn over to 1 Peter. These are not unfamiliar scriptures. These are, should be scriptures you know. Woo, it's good stuff. Better preaching, you are amen. Hallelujah. And this is not a feeling. This is something more real than that. Hallelujah. Amen. I know there's a song, oh, I'm hooked on a feeling. Well, get delivered from that addiction. Quit being hooked on feeling. Get hooked on joy. That's has nothing to do with feeling. 1 Peter. Notice this, Peter speaking. Is this helping you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, just kind of connect the dots as we're going along here. I know I'm not just rolling and shouting and hollering and hanging from the chandeliers. Of course, I don't have any, but it's still, it's good stuff. Stuff we need to hear. Praise God. We need to learn to rejoice. We need to learn to be full of joy. And I tell you, if we're not full of joy, we're not rejoicing, we need to check out what we're believing.
That's right.
Are we believing? Because if we're believing, He'll fill us with peace and joy.
Amen.
In believing. He will do that. And not only that, that we'll become acceptable to God by serving Him in these things. Serving Him in joy, serving Him in peace, serving Him in righteousness will be acceptable to God and approved by men. And the curses many times come upon us because we do not serve God with joy.
Yeah.
And we do not serve Him with gladness for the abundance of all things. We're not rejoicing that He's going to meet our need. We're not excited that He's going to get us through this, that, hey, things are looking right for a miracle. Instead of giving in and throwing the towel, we ought to be looking up and praising God for the answer, because, man, we're going to have a testimony when this is over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! I mean, when you get your bearings, we all get sucker punched. I know bad reports come, and we get rattled, and that happens. But you know, get back on your feet. Think this thing through. Get on your knees. Start praying. Start focusing on God and looking at this thing from a higher vantage point. You will see more from up in heaven than you will down from here. If you'll get up in heaven, in the heavenlies, you get up there in the throne room, and you get up there with His Word and start praying and seeking God, you'll look over this thing with a whole different perspective. You'll see things totally different. Are you with me? You get so wrapped up in the thing, you got to get out of it and get into God and in His Word. And you'll start seeing everything different. You'll start saying, wait a minute. What am I worried about? Man, I got this already. This is not already, I mean, I hadn't already licked it. He's already licked it.
He
took care of this 2,000 years ago. I'm going to walk in this promise, walk in this victory, and rejoice in believing. Doesn't look any different than the natural, but I'm not looking at the natural. Amen?
Amen?
Peter said it this way, concerning Jesus in the 8th verse, 1st chapter, he said, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. New King James says inexpressible and full of glory. Well, how in the world could I rejoice with inexpressible, unspeakable joy and full of glory for something I have not seen. Well, I believe. And so, having not seen yet believing, I rejoice. Well, I had hadn't changed. It looks the same today as it was. Yeah, but see, I'm believing. And so I rejoice. Having not seen, yet believing, I rejoice.
Yes.
Well, how in the world can you be so joyful? I'm believing, that's why. Well, don't you see all this? Well, I know I see it, yeah, but that's not what I'm looking at. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm believing. Whom have not seen, yet believing. You rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. God of all hope, fill you with joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. See that connection? See, that's what this kingdom is about. This kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. I don't always look righteous, but I believe that He has made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? I have peace because I believe. I have joy because I believe. Because that's what this kingdom's about. It's about real joy. It's about eternal joy. Not joy that goes up and down with the stock market. Joy that goes up and down with the economy or the world affairs or up and down with who's in presidency or who's in power, who's not in power, or whether my team wins the football game or not. No, we're talking real joy here. Joy that comes from within. Turn over to Isaiah 61. Man, just looking at y'all need this message. Just looking around here. We all need it, amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is familiar passage. I love this. Goodness, I'm going to have to speed through this. There's too much good stuff in here. Isaiah 61. I'm going to read the 7 verses. How about that? And I'm just going to speed through them. Okay? I'm not going to take a lot of time on each verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He, the Lord, has anointed me. This is what Jesus quoted, incidentally, in Luke 4, verse 18. When He returned, the 14th verse of the 4th chapter says He returned in the power of the Spirit. And when He was tempted of the devil, overcame the devil, He returned in the power of the Spirit, and He opened up the book of Isaiah, and He read from this. Okay. I'm going to speed through this. Okay. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Hallelujah, somebody. Got good news for the poor. You don't have to be poor anymore. Hallelujah. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Don't have to be brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Open up the gates and let them free. The opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. Now that's coming. It's interesting Jesus didn't quote that part. When He started His ministry, because that wasn't what He came to do. He didn't come to bring vengeance. Vengeance is coming in the last days. Jesus didn't bring that when He walked the earth, and He stopped that quote right there, incidentally. That's interesting that He stopped it right there. In the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. This is what God's all about, y'all. This is what He's about. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? Now this is what Jesus came to do. This is what this covenant is about. This is what this kingdom is about. This is what Jesus is about. To give the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know that old song, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And then I don't remember the rest of the song. But anyway... You need to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yes, you put it on. You just got to take that thing off. Take that garment, that spirit of heaviness off you. And what do you get over it? Put on a garment of praise.
Amen.
You look a whole lot better with that on anyway. That spirit of heaviness you don't wear well. It makes you look so much older. I mean, it just ages you. Quit wearing it, okay? Put on a garment of praise. Man, you look 10 years younger with that on.
Amen.
With that joy, see? That's what Jesus came to do, to comfort us and to give us the oil of joy for mourning or weeping and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Did you know God gets glory out of you being joyful? He gets glory out of you coming out of that mourning, that weeping, and that heaviness. And people see that you are the planting of the Lord. You are what God has done. Joy is what God plants. It's what He grows. Comfort is what He does. And when they see that in you, they see God. The glory of the Lord upon you. Amen? And Jesus, this is interesting. Jesus is anointed to do this. The anointing of God is for this reason. It's to meet needs. The anointing is always to help people. It's always to bless people. It's to bring joy. The anointing should bring joy and comfort. Amen? Okay, moving right along, fast, speedy. They don't call me Speedy Gonzalez for nothing. Arriba. Ay, 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 ay. Okay. Fourth verse. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. And they shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I love that. I mean, because that's what joy will do. It repairs. It builds again. It renews vision. It brings freshness. Amen. Rejoicing changes everything. It brings hope back to you. It gives you a future and a destiny and a hope. Hallelujah. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. I'll tell you what tore them down was heaviness and dismay and despair and mourning and weeping, sadness. And joy will build it back up. Nothing like people who are excited about something. There's nothing like people who are passionate about something.
Yes,
there's nothing about people who just, it just, you can tell when they're talking about this thing, it just floats their boat. You know, I mean, they just, that man, they are passionate about this. You can tell where their joy is, see? It's where their passion is, where their, and that's what God wants us. He wants to serve Him that way, with joy. He just, man, lights our fire. I mean, God gets me excited.
Amen.
Are you with me? His word excites me. There's nothing that excites me more. Nothing makes me cry more than God's word. I'm amazed at how, you know, just things touch me out of God's word. I just, man, woo! I just want to shout. I want to stand up on the desk and holler and scream. So it says this, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, meaning you'll have help. And the sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. That's favor and prosperity. You should be named the priest of the Lord, and they shall call you the servants of our God. And you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. I love that. And the glory, in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double, everlasting joy shall be theirs. Man, I love that. Everybody say everlasting joy.
Everlasting joy.
Well, see, that's us. Joy is what we have for eternity. Joy is what we have for everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. And joy, well, you know, that's the serious business of heaven. That's what this kingdom is about. It's how you should be serving Him. It's what you should be wearing is this garment of praise. Amen? And this oil of joy. Oil just gets the wrinkles out. Gets the dryness out. It gets the, you know, if you're in a dry period in your life, pour some oil of joy on it. It'll smooth out the dryness and the wrinkles and the cracks and, you know, and you look so much younger. Amen? With joy. Praise God. Serve Him with joy and realize you can do it. You're ordained. You're destined to do it. In fact, the anointing of God is for that purpose. Everybody wants the anointing. Well, the anointing is anointing of joy.